This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Mid-August, my friends, heading towards harvest. And this is Old Home Week because it's Cowich and Wine Month surrounding me in Mill Bay. Many of my friends gathered at Brentwood College School just down the hill, and they poured for their fans and friends. And it kicked off August Wine Month in the Cowichan Valley. Our guests are Lauren Inglis from Enrico, Bailey Richardson from Blue Grouse, Javier Bonilla from Cherry Point Estate, Garrett Diol from Diol, Zach Brown from Alderley, Mike Narichlo from Emmendare, Christian DeBeer in his first interview from Zanata Winery, and Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth. And welcome aboard. It's Cowichan Wine Month on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New releases coming your way, the long-awaited Soiree, their beautiful fortified red. And this week, the 2021 Heritage Pinot Gris and the Merlot Malbec. New releases from Hillside Winery, Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. It's the pour at Brentwood School in Mill Bay. It's a very cool location, my friends. And actually, we're taking shots. Corey Wood is shooting this incredible lawn and vista and the ocean. And we'll put it up on the website, Tasting Room Radio at mulliganstudio.ca. We're going to work our way through quickly the people who are pouring, what they're pouring, and then some of their story for this year and the growing year of last year. So we start with a friend, Mike Narichlo at Emmendare, representing Mike and Robin and Alice and Clara.
And Clara. You know, Terry, it's funny. I've been in your studio a number of times, and every time there's a backdrop of the ocean behind you, and this is no different. It's good. We're excited to be here. It's the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival, another great evening to pour wine for those people who love what we're up to around here.
I want to ask questions about the growing year of the wines you're pouring, but I need to know what it is you're pouring.
Okay, first of all, we'll start with what we're pouring. So I got four delicious, very summer-driven wines. So we got our PS, which is a lovely little sipper of Pinot Noir and Sigaribe blended together. You get texture and aromatics. We got our Blanc de Noir, which is probably my biggest surprise of the year. So a white made from Pinot Noir. Delicious wines. My go-to, like, shrimp cocktail wine. Our Rosé, that's our cult followed red. As far as a rosé goes, people look at it and like, this is red, primary red in color. And you got Tempranillo, Sigaribe, Marechal Foch. It's a very fun rosé. And then we have our surprisingly delicious every year, our Farm Fresh Foch, our nod to Beaujolais Nouveau, that juicy, fresh, bubblegummy red.
It's interesting. I was looking at some of the numbers. I just happened to have it in this bag that I was carrying about the percentage of Sigaribe planted in BC. It's like 1%. And Marechal Foch, it's 1 or 2%. None of the big guys, and as you well know, you still have to explain what those are. But frankly, I just say, why don't you just taste it?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say they're 1 or 2% of plantings of them in BC. Well, most of them are here on the island, and we're about 1 or 2% of the production of BC. Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. But, I mean, Sigaribe, German aromatic grape variety. It's a cousin to Gewürztraminer. Gives you those kind of stone fruit, wild flowers, that sort of thing, a lovely grape. And then Marechal Foch, a French-American hybrid out of the Loire Valley, made for a juicy red in a cooler climate.
Mike Narichlo at Emmendare. So in the blending process, did you know what you wanted going in, or did it surprise you as you went in with the blending?
Oh, depending on the varieties, it was talking blending, the one in particular, actually the two we're pouring today is our PS and our Rosé. And my blends are dictated really by the soil types of my property. What grows together goes together. And it's crazy, even in grape growing, the soil types, like my Rosé, everything's planted in our heavy clay. And that they just marry. Now, as a winemaker, I'm tasting and fiddling and going back and forth, and every time it ends up coming back to the same soil types. So it makes a big difference in the wine.
I did notice, by the way, my mind is jumping all over the place because I got you in the seat. You just put out a release saying, I'm sorry, friends, we've had a very successful year. We are sold out. And this is like early August.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a weird problem to have.
First of all, it's a good problem because you're sold out.
It's a great problem to have. Do you know how many people do a double take when they phone your winery and say, can I come to your wine shop? Well, no, we're sold out. Yeah. What do you mean? What does that mean? It means there's no wine. Yeah. Well, so it's, yeah, I mean, it's a privilege for us to say that as a small family run boutique winery. And honestly, it gives us more time in our summer to work hard in the vines.
It is frustrating to a certain extent because you want people to visit. You want them to build a destination.
Yeah, of course. Of course we do. But you know what? Emmendaire, at the end of our day, it's our home. And it says that in the back of our bottle. So for us to protect that, especially now that we got young kids, it's a privilege to be able to have the gate shut, to be honest. We love the people coming by, but...
How was the growing year for those wines?
Good question. Well, so what we're serving today is our 21s. 21 was just a great, consistent year for growing grapes. So we got a lot of juicy, bright flavors out of the wine, similar to 2020. Now, if you want to know an interesting year, is the year we're in. Yeah. The year we're in right now.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this could be the year.
You're right. I'm glad you say that because, you know what, there's a general... I'm curious what other people are going to say in your radio show. I'm going to listen to it when you release it. But I have huge enthusiasm for 2022. And we're all dumb and we wear blinders, right? But history dictates what the future holds. This year is very much like 2017. And 2017 was one of my favorite vintages on Vancouver Island because we had, first of all, bumper crops. That's a great thing to have. But we had a hang time into October where our flavor development was stunning. We had ethereal complexities to our wines in 2017, which were beautiful. And I'm anticipating the same for this year, 2020.
You had lots of cool and wet. What you really needed was what we got now, sun.
Yeah, exactly. And it's warm, man. It's warm. It's no heat wave, which is nice. We're not dying in it, but it's definitely warm.
You look ahead, it looks like you're going to get sun for another month and something.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to have that real nice, just rounded out finish to the growing season. That's my hope.
Mike Nerichlo at Emmendaire. Okay, it comes to you. I'm going to hand you this while I change my earphones. Give me a sense of the Cowichan Valley that you came to, 2017, and the one now. What's happened? How has it grown? Has it proceeded and has it progressed as fast as you thought it might?
This is dangerous. Terry Mulligan just handed me the microphone so I could go wherever I want with this. So 2013 is the year we arrived in the Cowichan Valley, and it has been an exciting trajectory for a region to watch. I mean, not only have we obtained the status of an official wine region now, when we arrived here, there was a lot of pioneers who we owe a lot of credit to. Hans at Blue Grouse, Roger at Alderley, the list goes on. And the trajectory of growth of quality in this region has been substantial, and we're all just very excited to see it. I'm not the only one running out of wine this year, because the consumer now is getting very excited about what we're doing. And what's really exciting is I would say the industry in 2013-14 was coming out of kind of a tough slump after 2010, 11, and 12, which were very difficult vintages for the island. Fast forward to now, we've had really nothing but solid growing seasons and a solid set of winemakers who really embrace what the vintage gives you and allowing the wines to just speak for the region. And the consumer is very excited about that, as are we.
Let's talk about the consumer for a second. There's a lot of flash, and as you well know, in the Okanagan and other regions. What can the Cowichan offer that they can't or that is different from what they're doing?
So when I was in your shoes many years ago, talking to people, asking them questions, I'll never forget Grant Stanley at Quail's Gate. And he just looks at my microphone, gives me a glare in his eye, and he says, I love acid. That, my friend, is what we can give the world from the Cowichan Valley. And we have the privilege to work with our acid, not to be afraid of it, but to round it out, which can give you these incredible, refreshing flavors and textures in our wines.
You used to run screaming from acid.
I didn't. I love acid, man.
No, but I mean, I'm thinking in terms of winemakers, would they play with the soil, the terroir, to change the acidity?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at the California textbook, you're working in certain parameters that are not the acids we're working with. And so that freaks you out. But if the vines that we're growing in our region are carrying these acids and the fruit is ripening the way it's ripening, it's all coming in balance and in check when it comes together. And we just embrace the style instead of trying to turn it into something it's not.
Grant Stanley did well this year.
Grant Stanley did very well this year.
I believe they are the winery of the year where Mr. Stanley is making his wines. Now, so you're closed for the time being. When do you reopen? Do you wait all winter or what?
So not to be confused, my only shameless plug is our guest house is still open. The wine shop is just closed. We will be reopening come the fall when our reds are all released for the fall.
And what have you got for the reds?
Oh, we got three beautiful reds coming out. We got our classic Maréchal Cabernet Fauche, which everyone loves. Of course, our Pinot Noir, our flagship. But we've got a second tier label of our From the Valley Pinot Noir, which it's a crunchy, crushable raspberry apple juice Pinot Noir, which I can't wait to get in the bottle.
Crunchy, you say?
Crunchy, crunchy. I know. A few people have come by and tasted out a barrel, and that's the term they've used for it. And I'm like, they nailed it.
Are they the same clone?
Similar clones, yeah. Kind of 115, 777, 667.
Well, here's my go-to question. I'm going to throw it at you. The winemaking that you thought you'd be doing way back when, 2013, and the winemaking you're doing now, is it same?
It's exactly the same. And I thought I was crazy when I started, because everyone told me I was crazy. You can't do wild ferment. You can't farm organically. You can't do these things. Well, I'm still doing it the same today. The major difference is I'm not stressed out about it anymore. I just let nature do its thing, and it makes something beautiful in that bottle.
Way to go, Robin. Listen, did Robin supply you with the price points on those wines you're pouring today?
Absolutely. So, P.S., we're looking at $20. Blanc de Noir is $26. Rosé is $26. And Farm Fresh Fauche is $26.
Can we buy them?
Yes. If you go online to emmendairevineyard.com, I have about four cases of each left sitting there that I may drink in the next month. So if you don't buy them, get them while they last.
Mike Naricino, the winemaker, along with Robin Naricino and Alice and?
Clara.
And Clara. Clara, I got to write that down. Clara. Is there going to be a Clara wine?
There was in 2017.
Okay. Yep. I missed the Clara, yep. But I will let you know that the official day that we took possession of the house in Mill Bay, we opened our bottle of Alice.
Oh, good for you. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. You must be just down the street from here.
Right there. Over your shoulder.
That's handy. Way to go.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it always.
In the Cowichan Valley, Mike Naricino at Emmendaire. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. New releases coming your way. The long-awaited Soiree. Their beautiful fortified red. And this week, the 2021 Heritage Pinot Gris and the Merlot Malbec. New releases from Hillside Winery, Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is Wine Month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. We're in Mill Bay at this incredible Brentwood College School on the bottom lawn, which only I think parents and students would see. It's gorgeous. Just check out the shots that Corey Wood is making for us. Alderley Vineyards, Zach Brown, Zach and Julie Brown. Cowichan Lake, just up the way. And I'm looking at what you're pouring. You got a Merlot, you got a Cab Fauche, you got a Cabernet Livre. That's what you're growing. But I got to check out, what did you bring today to pour?
Today we brought our Estate Sauvignon Blanc, our Merlot, and another wine, our Clarinet, which is 100% Maréchal Fauche.
There is almost no Sauvignon grown on Vancouver Island. How did that happen?
Well, my belief is that the original owner of Alderley, Roger Dossman, and the original owner of the vineyard that is now Emmendaire, they both had an interest in Sauvignon Blanc, and I there's some debate as to who planted the first pilot rose, but after that they discovered that, hey, it does work here, so Roger planted quite a bit more, and we have a new vineyard we're partnered with just down the road from us on Stamps Road, so our Sauvignon Blanc block has grown quite a bit, and it's pretty popular. A couple of years ago we won a double gold medal at the All-Canadians for our Sauvignon Blanc, showing that we can do it well here on the island.
I haven't tasted over there, so just tell me about, we know what we kind of expect from a Sauv Blanc. What should we set aside and enjoy about yours?
Well, there's different styles of Sauvignon Blanc. I'm a big Loire Valley fan, and so your French-style Sauvignon Blancs tend to be a little more green apple character, and your New Zealand ones, those are the ones you get that sort of grapefruit and cut grass kind of cat pea kind of character. And ours is somewhere in between. We have a little more sort of lime and green apple characters and just a hint of that wild grass, so it's not quite as overpowering as some of those big New Zealand brands.
Actually, as a taster, if you walk into someone's tasting room and you're expecting all of those New Zealand notes, you will be disappointed if it doesn't come through in the glass, except unless, if, as they say in the recording business, you leave your ego at the door and just let the wine do its thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, New Zealand has done a wonderful job of convincing the world that unripe Sauvignon Blanc is supposed to taste how it's supposed to taste, but with riper you start to get those tropical fruit notes as well, which you see in a lot of South American and Californian Sauvignon Blanc. So ours has a little hint of that in a good year.
What's the price point on it?
It's about $25.
What else is on the table again?
We have our Merlot, which I think we're the only ones producing a single varietal Merlot on the island, which we call the Miracle Merlot. It's always a bit of a nail biter to get that in ripe. It's the last thing we pick, and I'm always looking over at Mount Prevost. Those late October rains, are they coming? Are they coming? And then we run out there like commandos and pick it at the last minute. And then we have our Maréchal Foch, our clarinet, which is like, it's almost a Cowichan Valley cult wine. It was one of the very first red wines in the early 90s to see some success here.
And didn't just survive, but thrived.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Alderley Vineyards, Zach Brown, Zach and Julie Brown, Cowichan Lake, just up the way. You brought with you a bottle of Contraband 2018. Tell me about the story behind the bottle.
So the Contraband, Alderley made a wine called Contraband for one of the local restaurants here for about 20 years. And then recently that restaurant sold, and it was like, well, what are we going to do? I want to do something different and some step out from Roger Dossman's shadow a little bit. And I also was inspired by, you know, some of the icon wines here in BC, like the Oculus and the Icon, and my friend Mark Simpson makes a wine called Harmonious. So I said, can we make one of those big, full red wines here on the island? And so this wine is 70% Merlot. And it's about 20% Cabernet Foch and 10% Cabernet Lieb. So it's I don't want to call it a Bordeaux blend, but you can tell the winemaker's been to Bordeaux.
How much is left of this Contraband 2018?
Oh, I think there's about 4 cases left. It was kind of a winemaker's folly just to see if I could do it, and then it turned out to be successful, and so we only made about 50 cases of it, and our wine club pretty much snatched it up right away.
How much did it change in the bottle?
Well, we aged it in barrel for 2 years, and then we aged it in the bottle for a year, and we just released it, and really started to see those tannins come together over time, and some of the brightness sort of soften a little bit, and it's definitely an excellent food wine.
Please reveal to me what's in your other blend, the Matrix.
The Matrix is almost the inverse of the Contraband. So we have these two Swiss Blattner varietals, Cabernet Foch and Cabernet Lieb, which are sort of earlier ripening daughters of Cabernet Sauvignon. And so it's 70% Cabernet Foch, 20% Merlot, and 10% Cab Lieb in that blend. So it's again, Bordeaux-ish, but obviously made with those hybrid varietals, which are very environmentally friendly. They only have to be sprayed once a year, and they're really easy to grow organically.
Let's do some price points. What is the price point? If you can find it, what's the price point on a Contraband?
That's about $35.
And the Matrix?
$26.
And the three you're pouring?
The Merlot is $27.50. The Sauvignon Blanc's like $24.50. And the Clarinet's about the same.
Alderley Vineyards, Zach Brown, Zach and Julie Brown, Cowichan Lake. Let's talk about Julie. She's at the table while you're doing the talking here. She's getting better and better and better as a winemaker.
Absolutely. Julie's wine, which is a real favorite here in the Cowichan Valley, is a wine she makes as a tribute to her late mom called Valerie. And it's 80% Ortega and 20% Viognier. And Julie's first three vintages of that, she won a gold at the All-Canadians, a silver, and then a double gold in the white vinifera blend category. So, considering that this is sort of her first wine project. She's done amazingly well, and it's our wine club is threatening to gobble up all of it. So we have to hold some for the tasting room for everybody else.
And how does one join the wine club?
Well, our wine club is very easy to join. You just call Julie and tell her what wines you'd like to reserve.
Okay.
And in the springtime, you get an email or a phone call, so it's pretty easy to join. Our wine club, when we took over Alderley 5 years ago, was 100 people, and just in the last 18 months, it's grown up almost 400 people now. And when you're a 2,200 case producer, that's a pretty loyal following.
Do you know why it's grown like that?
The wines are good.
The wines are good. The wines are great. The wines are fantastic. That's what it is. Alderley is the name. Colleton Lake and Zach Brown has joined us here on Tasting Room Radio. Watch for Julie's wines and watch for the name Alderley as well, because they are making great wines here.
Thank you very much, Terry. Always a pleasure.
Tasting Room Radio, Brentwood School, the poor in the Cowichan Valley.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
I want to thank Bailey Williamson for joining me here, Blue Grouse. Bailey, where's your table? What'd you bring to pour?
We've got Ortega, Rosé, and Cool Pinot Noir.
Cool Pinot Noir.
Yes.
How many Pinots do you do now?
We've got two Pinots. Hopefully a few more coming online. We got the new vineyard is looking good. I'm excited because I think this year could be the first year where I actually make sparkling from the three noble sparkling grapes, Meunier, Chard, and Pinot Noir. So that will be a first for us.
What will tell you if you can do that?
Well, you know, how the rest of the season goes. August, September will be very telling.
You
for
need a long hang.
Yeah, if we can get a favorable autumn, it would change the game for sure. Things are catching up, but you know, in the cool climate, it's still difficult to when you start so cool in the spring.
You were talking about a cool climate conference back in Ontario. You were impressed?
Yes, that was the International Cool Climate Wine Symposium held at Brock University. It had been canceled for the last couple of years, but it went in person this year, and it was fantastic to go and meet people from all over the place that are doing cool climate wines. There was a big contingent from the UK and all the sparkling wine that they do. There was a guy from Finland that they're looking at doing grapes, and a guy from Denmark, and good New Zealand contingent. So it was really interesting. I mean, there was a lot of research, you know, people from Cornell, a lot of talk on stuff like, what are the particularities about putting wine in cans, a lot of talk about climate change. A lot of innovative stuff like that. So it was super interesting.
Did they talk about the regeneration of the soil?
Yeah. You know, that's part of what people are doing. There was a couple of things that were quite interesting. They talked about sustainability and regenerative agriculture. And the downside to those things is there's no defined definition of what it is. So they're value-laden terms that are not well understood or controlled. I mean, that's part of the reason that we're going to organic, is because there's a process to audit what you do. I could say I'm sustainable, but nobody's got a process to audit that. And that's what we thought was one of the key factors in going organic.
We're called Warmland, this area.
Yeah.
Are we still... We're cool, considered cool climate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what we look at is the growing degree days, and every crop has growing degree days, even corn, yeah, soybeans, all that stuff. And so we measure it more from that perspective than what you think. I mean, when I worked in Australia, they called the Adelaide Hills cool climate, and I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, everybody wants to be cool climate because it gives you that tension in the wine with the proper acidity and everything else, and it makes it balanced. And so there's a lot of people that are trying to make that claim.
Those new plantings, how are they looking?
They are looking fantastic. We're still a few years away on a big harvest out of it.
Could you hurry up with it?
Yeah, that's what Paul says too.
Now, what are you pouring tonight? your Quill Rosé Ortega and the Quill Pinot Noir?
Correct.
Do you know your price points?
No, I don't.
What the hell?
I'm the winemaker. I don't know.
What's ahead now? Harvest, obviously. What's coming out in the fall?
We have the first Chardonnay I've done, and it is 100% Cowichan Valley fruit.
Cool climate Chardonnay.
Cool climate Chardonnay. 100% barrel fermented and aged for 7 months in oak. And early analysis is promising. So I'm pretty happy about that. And then the estate Pinot Noir in December.
So wait a minute. This is wine month. Are you doing any band work? Are you singing?
Nobody wants me to sing. But at the winery, we do have a little bubble lounge that we're doing up on the mezzanine. And so it will be some Pet Nat, some Frizzante, and the Paula Sparkling, and a few other little things to taste along with it.
I want to thank Bailey Williamson for joining me here, Blue Grouse. And he's pouring the Quill Pinot Noir, the Quill Rosé, yes, and the Ortega. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is wine month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. It wouldn't be a pour in the Cowichan Valley if we didn't have Unsworth here, representing Unsworth, Dan Wright. Well, actually, Crystal Pope is here as well. Dan Wright, the winemaker, has joined us. Do you know what your pours are tonight? You haven't even been to the table yet.
I just got here.
Can I tell you?
Thank you for those kind words. That's nice of you to say.
Can I tell you what they are?
Sure. I know we got some Pinot and some
Coupe. We got a Sunnydale Rosé 2021, the 20 Chardonnay, and the 20 Pinot Noir.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, those are some of my favorite wines to pour and some of my darlings. So, yeah, love pouring those, talking about those.
You have a love affair with these wines.
Yes, yeah. I mean, Pinot, the grape, is so fun to work with. You can make sparkling, make rosé, you can make red wine, Chardonnay, you know, it's sister grape, Pinot Gris, same family. I love how these grapes ripen in this climate, how they work. Yeah, fantastic.
What clones?
Which wine?
Well, it's a 20 Pinot.
The 20 Pinot is a blend of Dijon clones, a little bit of an unknown clone from the Zanata vineyard. We don't know which clone that it was, but I think the vines were originally from Blue Mountain, so back before they weren't really. But mostly Dijon. It was the 115, 777, 667, 828. Are the backbone of those wines.
Oh, I remember you. You're the geeky guy. That's right. I remember. Now, the new plantings, there's Chardonnay up there. Is there Pinot as well?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be mostly Pinot, 70% Pinot. Bit of Gamay, couple acres of Gamay. But then, 25% Chard.
Have you been up to fondle the land?
Yeah, we're up there all the time. It's... A lot of work happening right now. We're digging a big pond. We're trellising's in. We're planting. Actually, still, we got way delayed in the spring because of the wet spring. So it's so we're just planting now.
So what's the location called? What are we going to call it?
I don't have a name for the vineyard yet. We're still working on that. It's on Menzies Road in west of Duncan, but we're not going to call it Menzies Road.
So or west of Duncan.
Yeah.
So your core temperature that you had at Unsworth on that last day you were there, was it the same?
No, it's usually about 3 degrees Celsius warmer.
Warmer.
Yeah, it's warmer.
Heat points,
you know, basically because Unsworth is about 2 kilometers as the crow flies to the ocean. So it gets a lot of that cooling influence, whereas this property is, I think, more like 8 kilometers, if I recall correctly. So it's just that much more protected. It's sort of surrounded a bit more by mountains and it's got a little bit more slope to it. So more south facing slope, it's going to be warmer. with more sunshine, heat, all those things.
And what's the plan? I mean, I know the stuff, some stuff that you can't share, but you're going to have a lot of Pinot coming off that mountain.
Yeah, yeah. So you mean the big picture, long-term future? I mean, I think basically the goal is to make world-class Pinot Noir Chardonnay, of course. And, you know, we're going to start selling BC, go across Canada. You know, who knows? I'm not going to put a limit to it, right? You know, sky's the limit.
It's just a dream.
It's just a dream.
Just a dream.
Okay. But you know, it's going to take us, that property will take us to around 20,000 cases size.
Dan Wright, winemaker, Unsworth Awards, Wine Line, the Canadian Nationals. How'd you do?
Yeah, we're very happy with that. We got awards for the Rosé 2021, the 2019 Pinot Noir, and the 2020 Chardonnay. I think we got gold for the Pinot Noir and the Rosé, and then silver for the Chardonnay.
Yeah. Recognition.
Yes. Yeah. It always helps, right? Every little bit.
I mean, if they're tasting your Pinot.
Yeah.
Did you say the Rosé?
If
they're tasting Rosés, they've got 150, 200 Rosés.
Yeah, yeah.
It's boggling.
And our Rosé has consistently gotten those, you know, 91s, gold, you know, medals. So, you know, it's... I think got a little following, you know, people reaching out to me. It was very nice to say, you know, your rosé is always super consistent. So
Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth, he's got some pouring to do. Fall, what are the fall releases?
We're going to have Auxerrois 2021. We're going to have Symphony 2020 coming out. We're going to release the 20. Okay, we'll release the 2020 Saison Pinot Noir.
Final answer.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the sit down. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Cheers, man.
Dan Wright, winemaker, Unsworth, at the Pour, College of Pour, at Brentwood School.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Lauren Inglis, the general manager from Enrico, is here to talk about subregions, Coronet, Ortega, Pinot Noir, and the spring. No, we've talked about the spring. The spring was butt ugly.
The spring was absolutely butt ugly. We're hoping that we can build something up after that terrible spring. So time's going to give us, time will tell, and all we can do is wait and see what happens. But it wasn't a pretty.
What's happened to us, the consumer? Did we show up? Did we go away?
Yeah, no, the consumer's here. I mean, we're happy with what's going on with the consuming right now. Locally, of course, the response we've been getting and the support we've been getting locally is monstrous, which is exactly what we want. So we're happy.
Now, these wines you're pouring are the 2021s?
Yeah, we've got the 2021 Ortega, the 2021 Red Dragon, and the 2020 Pinot Noir we're going to do tonight. So we're just doing the three.
You broke out the Pinot.
We broke out the Pinot. We weren't going to, but we decided because you're going to be here and we know how much you love Pinot Noir, we had to pour a Pinot Noir.
What clones are we talking about?
Every time we get together, you ask me that same question. I'm not going to tell you, Terry.
What's the price point?
$26.50.
You know the price point, but you don't know the cologne.
That's right. And how many times have we talked about that?
Okay, but that's a beautiful Pinot, though.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I love
a little
that.
Bit light in body, but it's we're super happy with it. Yep.
How's Ortega doing as a go-to glass of wine?
You know something, it's taken years, as you know, for Ortega to actually hit the brains of everybody so they understand what the actual grape is. Ortega is doing stunningly well on the island right now.
And the Coronet?
Coronet, Petit Milot, stunning grape. I mean, Petit Milot, Sauv Blanc hybrid, of course, one of Valentin Blattner's. Designed to grow in our climate, cool climate, it does stunningly well.
Lauren Inglis, the general manager from Enrico. I'm sitting in your room with Corey Wood, Corey and Heather, and I think it's a Saturday, and it's maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. And it's there's a nice calmness to it. Everybody's enjoying themselves. And then I look up like 25 minutes later, and there it's jammed. What's going on at Enrico?
Enrico is, we're a bit of a buzz. I mean, we are the fun winery to come to on Vancouver Island, definitely in the valley for sure. We just like to sit back, relax, and have everybody have fun. That's the important part. You know, just enjoy wine. It's a simple beverage. Let's have fun with it.
So what are you going to do for the month of August, which is, you know, your wine month?
Our wine month. We've got a couple of wine dinners that we're going to be doing, but we're focusing on music this year. So we're going to be doing our house band, Rolly Barrett. He's going to be playing every Friday and Saturday like he normally does, but we're bumping that up a little bit more, an extra day in there. We've got Leroy Stagger coming in. We're working on Kem McCoy coming in as well. So music is what we're going to focus on.
Did you say Leroy Stagger?
Leroy's coming on August 27th.
He's going to be playing the room?
He's going to be playing the room, yeah.
Leroy Stagger.
The Leroy Stagger.
Oh, yeah, man.
There's two tickets with your name sitting there.
Wow, yeah. Fantastic.
And I know you know him. So.
What's coming for the in the fall from Enrico?
Actually, we're going to be releasing the port. We have a port that we've done at a Cabernet Fauche, Cabernet Libre, which is going to be quite interesting. So that will be released in the fall. But nothing else is going to be released until next year.
Are you going to run out of wine?
More importantly, have we run out of wine? Yeah. We are definitely going to run out of wine. There's no doubt.
I know you're busy because Bridgman's is their house pour is you.
Yeah, we have both the house white and house red. They've got it both on tap, and they are doing extremely well with it.
Okay.
So we're happy.
Lauren Inglis, the general manager, Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Thanks for sitting down and talking to us, and I'll come over and taste.
My absolute pleasure. It's great to have you here, Terry, as usual.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from at Mooncursor. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. They've opened the doors, obviously, because there's lots of people showing up. Javier Bonilla has joined me here. He is, of course, Cherry Point Estate. How are things at Cherry Point this year?
Good. I'm very happy, very fortunate. And you know what? First, thankful to the guy above us because we're doing well. The farm is in good health. My family is well and in good health. And I'm just being a new grandfather.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done. Well done. New crop. You had a lot of rain, a lot of cold. But this sun's now working for you, right?
It's working for you, of course. In agriculture, when you lose time, it's hard to gain it back. However, there is a huge, huge challenge in the winemaking in this season. Now we're going to see the challenging, and we have the material, especially the reds. You see, the reds, we have to age them. And even if the harvest is not very, very good, we can make up for it, cellaring in the barrels, and so on and so on. So it's very, very, it's going to be very challenging winemaking. Winemaking is not just you get a grape and you make a wine. No.
Javier Bonilla, he is, of course, Cherry Point Estate. What did you bring to pour tonight?
Our Pinot Noir is a Reserva, and it's a very Spanish in the making, and it comes from the gravel section of the farm. You see, we have two Pinot Noirs, one that grows in the gravel and one that grows in the clay. It is the same grape, and two totally different wines.
That makes sense. Terroir.
Yes. So we don't mix all the Pinot Noir and make one. And in the wine from the clay, you feel the rotten wood, the decaying leaves, the dead crickets in the flavor of the wine. It's beautiful.
Dead crickets.
Yes, dead crickets.
You can't replicate dead crickets. Yeah. It's a real thing or nothing at all.
Yes. Whereas the one I brought, is a more sophisticated, very French style. It comes from the gravel And in the gravel, there is more oxygen penetration.
Minerality?
Minerality, very brisk and quite, well, first of all, dry. All the wines, all our wines are dry. You see, in the fermentation, all the sugar becomes alcohol. Wines are dry.
Did you bring some Sigaribe?
I bought some Sigaribe, yes, I have Sigaribe, and our dessert wine.
The blackberry?
The blackberry, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Do you know your price points?
Yes, I but around between 25 and 30.
Very nice. Javier Bonilla. He is, of course, Cherry Point Estate. Now, what's coming in the fall from Cherry Point?
Well, I have a surprise. I made a classic, like a true Tony.
Tony.
You see, a Tony, by law, a Tony has never seen stainless steel. Tony has to be in oak barrels. But one oak barrel today, as you know, is a 1,100 euros. So everything is in stainless steel. Well, I do it in barrels. And second, a Tony has to be 5 years in a barrel before it is a Tony. And I started in 2017 making it for the Navy, because the Navy wanted some friends. Not the Navy, but some friends who are officers in the Navy wanted a Tony. And I said, well, 5 years ago I will make it, and then I am going to release it in the next 15 days. My Tony, a real Tony.
Is that the name of it, Tony?
It's a Tony. It's a special reserve, Cherry Points, Tony.
What's it going to cost?
45. But I made 6 barrels in total.
And when you last tasted, how did it come out?
Oh, amazing. It just, actually, not me, because I don't count. People that come to taste it, people that are experts, people from England that know about Tony, and the most important, high officers in the Navy, and the Navy, they know their Tonys. They toast every other day, they are toasting.
Navy's run on Tony.
Yeah.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for talking to me, and I'll see you next year.
Okay, my friend, yes.
Javier Bonilla has joined me here. He is, of course, Cherry Point Estate. T.D. Mulligan in Cowichan, Brentwood School College. The lower lawn, and it's a gorgeous night. It's just fantastic. Diehl Winery is here, Estate Winery. And Garrett Diehl has joined me here at the table. I can't see because of the sun, Garrett. What are you pouring over there today?
So we brought 4 wines today. We brought a Pinot Grigio, a Gamay Rosé, Pinot Noir, and a Maréchal Foch.
Did I interview you before?
I think a couple years back,
okay.
Yeah.
And I said, and you had just started this process, and you had come from doing some training. How much have you progressed as a winemaker in those 2 years?
Well, since then, I'm more so just kind of help out when I can for the family.
But you learn.
I do more so with the vines than the wine. So my father does most of the winemaking, but he couldn't make it here tonight. So I just kind of, I tend to the vines most of the time.
Is he listening to you out there in the field?
No.
No.
We're
no.
Button heads all the time. Yeah. It's difficult working family sometimes, but we make it work.
I think you said the same thing 2 years ago. He's a stubborn guy.
He's very stubborn, yeah. But I think it runs in the family. I think we all kind of got it.
So just take me through, what's the 2018s?
The 2018s are the Foch and the Pinot Grigio. And then the Rosé is 2019. And then the Pinot Noir is 27.
Well, that's kind of cool, man. 2017 Pinot Noir?
Yeah, we got some age on the ones we brought tonight.
How are they tasting?
Pretty good. So my favorite one out of the 4 is the Foch. So it's our most full-bodied. It's got a deep berry taste to it.
So this year, now spring was wet and cold and miserable. And all you needed was some sun. Are you getting enough sun on those vines?
We're getting sun these last couple of weeks. At our place, it's been touching 30 for a lot of the days. For our new plantings, though, the early season, with all the rain, kind of helped us out.
Tell me about the new plantings. What'd you put in?
So we put 1.5 acres of Pinot Gris, yeah. And then we put 1 acre of Pinot Noir in, adding to our 23 acres we currently have.
Once again, remind people what you're pouring.
So we're pouring a Gamay Rosé. The Rosé is $15. Okay. Then we're pouring a Pinot Grigio, which is $18. And then both our Pinot Noir and our Foch are $20.
The wine is Diehl, D-E-O-L. And Garrett Diehl, the farmer in the field, has joined me here at Tasting Room Radio. Thanks.
Yep.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio.
Okay, this is our last interview because, well, first you can tell they've opened the doors. The good friends at Zenatta, Jim Moody has been on our Zoom calls on a number of occasions, but there's no Jim Moody tonight. And Christian DeBeer has joined me here in the studio, which is another chair, and he's pouring because he pours at Zenatta, yes?
Yes, yeah. I've been working in the vineyard for a few years now. Started out just in the fields, you know, doing all the manual jobs, and this summer I started pouring wine, which is fun.
Did they tell you what to say, or did you make up your own?
I picked up a bit of general knowledge just working at Zenatta about their wines in particular, but a little bit about the industry, but no, I don't have any formal wine education.
How about this? Let me ask you this question. This is a Zenatta Pinot Noir 2019. Tell me about that.
Okay, so yeah, it's our 2019 Pinot Noir. 2019 was a very good vintage for Pinot Noirs on the island. Ours is no exception. It's actually my favorite wine there. It has very nice tannins and a nice cherry note and tobacco.
Tobacco. Do you know the award that Zenatta just won?
Yeah, we just won gold in the Wine Align competition for the Traditionnel. We won silver for the Pinot Noir.
This Pinot Noir?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
This one you're pouring tonight?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. What's the price point on the Pinot Noir?
It's 27.
And what else are you pouring?
We're also pouring our Fantasia. It's actually a Champagne Method sparkling wine. And we're pouring our Rosé and our Damasco.
So let's take them one at a time. The price points.
Oh, the Fantasia is also 27. And the Damasco is 21. And the Rosé is 25.
Congratulations. This is your first interview?
Yes.
Wow. Christian DeBeer. Ask for him personally when you walk into the tasting room at Zenatta, and we'll see you at the dinner.
All right. Thank you very much.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com.